Welcome to The Social Academic. Today, I'm talking with Dr. Jane Jones of Up In Consulting. We're going to be talking about books. So authors, please listen up. This one is for you. Dr. Jane Jones, would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is Jane Jones. I am a New Yorker and I am a book writing coach. I came to book writing after I left my tenure track job. I was an assistant professor of sociology. That's where I have my PhD in sociology. And I started out as a developmental editor and then transitioned into coaching. So the business I have now is a book coaching business where I work with women in academia who are writing books in the humanities and social sciences. And I help them get those books done through a combination of developmental editing, coaching, and project management support.
I love that. Now, can I ask, what do you like most about coaching? Like, why do you like working with people on their books?
Oh my goodness. There are a lot of reasons. Actually, I really do love coaching. One thing that stands out with the coaching side is how much academics already know, but have been socialized to believe they don't know, especially
women, especially
Black women, other women of color, that they've been taught not to trust their own knowledge.
Mm.
And through coaching, a lot of what I focus on is helping people realize that, you know, you already know a lot about your topic. You already have a lot of expertise. You don't always have to defer to other scholars, to your dissertation advisor, especially when you're writing your book. You no longer have to answer to your dissertation advisor. And that you have a lot of the skills already. To be sure, there are a lot of things that we aren't taught about publishing. Like, there's a big hidden curriculum around book writing, and exposing that hidden curriculum is very important, while also reinforcing people's trust in their own knowledge. So being able to do both of those two things at the same time, I think, is the most important part of the coaching relationship for me.
I love that, because my next question was really like, what are universities kind of not teaching you, right? What are universities not teaching, especially minoritized faculty, about writing books? And it sounds like people do have more knowledge than they're able to process, or maybe admit or accept of themselves. And can you tell me a little bit more about that? Like, where is that difference between how much we know and how much we really need support in?
Yeah. So, you know, I always joke that there's no publishing 101. There's no book writing 101. Like, that course is not taught in grad school. I mean, for that matter, article writing 101 isn't either. You know, those aren't taught in grad school. And I think where people have a lot of knowledge is in their subject matter. So in the data you have collected, all of the literature you've read, how you make sense of the literature, you know, people are experts there. Like, you spent your whole graduate career. And, you know, because I work with people at all stages of their career, from assistant professor to full professor, you know, like, you've accumulated so much data, number one, and you have so much knowledge, right? So that is there. But in terms of questions like, well, how is a book different than a dissertation, you know, structurally? What do I put in my book, you know, that wasn't in the dissertation? Or, you know, how do I create the through line in my book? You know, these really, like, kind of tactical questions about how do I actually do the writing of this type of manuscript, which is different than an article and is different than a grant proposal. They've never been taught that. So even though they have all of the information, they don't know how to get it on paper in a way that is going to be legible for a reader. You know, that's where the work happens. And that's what we do. And that's, I think, what universities don't teach people how to do, sometimes because people just don't know how to teach it. You know, it's kind of like, you do it for yourself. And then for many people who write their first book, and if you're a first book author watching this, if someone comes in and asks you what you did, you might be like, I don't remember. I just got that done. I was on a 10-year timeline and I put my head down and I wrote, and maybe I had a book manuscript workshop, or, you know, like I had good friends or a supportive mentor who read it and gave me feedback, and I wrote, got feedback. And that was it. And then the book was done, right? That doesn't mean you can then teach that process to somebody else. So being able to be, you know, a little bit on the outside of the process as developmental editor, and with the other developmental editors, you know, who work in the program with me, being on the outside of that process and being and saying, you know, like, there are some common things, there are some things that all books have in common, and we're going to teach you how to implement and how to, you know, learn that craft. Like the things that are common about the craft of book writing, we work with people across disciplines. You know, we're discipline agnostic, as we like to say, you know, so from art historians, people who are more on the side of doing like quantitative, big survey research, but writing books, you know, we run the gamut. But even within that, there are things people have in common in their books and in their trials of writing. You know, the experiences they're having trying to make enough time to write the book, feeling imposter syndrome, not knowing what to do with feedback, being worried about approaching an acquisitions editor, you know, not knowing how, thinking, going back to, you know, being the hidden curriculum, like not knowing how to talk to an acquisitions editor and feeling very intimidated. You know, so those are all things that we help them with, that I think, you know, aren't really being taught to them in other places. People might be exchanging information informally. They're like, oh, my friend published here. They said the editor is really nice. Or they said the editor is really, you know, hands-on or not hands-on. So like I have this, you know, informal knowledge, but I don't know how to like craft an email to an acquisitions editor or like strike up a conversation with them at a conference. And I feel very worried to do that. You know, like, I don't know how to describe my book in one or two sentences so that I could talk to somebody about it at a conference, you know, and not spend 10 minutes like talking about my book, which, you know, ultimately it will be, but you know, I don't have that sharp, like quick summary. And those are things that we help them with, because it can feel very disempowering when you don't know how to do them. So again, like you have all this great information, but you know, if you don't know how to talk to an acquisitions editor, how are you going to have a book? You know, if you don't know how to craft a chapter, like how are you going to have a book?
These are skills that professors can learn. These are skills that are learnable and that you can develop, but because they're not taught by universities and the people who have experience in them maybe don't know how to teach these skills, yeah. It is amazing that you and your team are there to support them. I'm so happy about that. And I'm also happy that you work with minoritized faculty, with women. Why is that important to you?
It's really important. I still go back to one thing, you know, to people who have written books and don't necessarily know how to teach it. I would add additionally, and kind of looping this into working with women and, you know, minoritized faculty, is like they don't often have the time to teach somebody else how to write a book. It's a time consuming process. You know, a book is a multi-year process, and people add mentoring, you know, like I'll read a chapter for you and give you feedback. But for someone to give them that structured support over time, faculty have to publish themselves. You know, like they have to do their own service committees. They have their own families. And again, like that doesn't mean that they don't offer help, but it means that they may not have the time or capacity to give that systematic type of help we do. And I think that's especially pronounced for women and minoritized faculty because they often have an extra service load. They do more service. Like we know that statistically, they do more service. They're doing more caretaking outside of work. Right. So there isn't always that easy transmission of knowledge from like a senior faculty member to a junior faculty member because they're just as pressed as anybody else, you know, and so are the junior faculty who But we don't only work with junior faculty, but the majority are of our clients are. And, you know, they have the same issues, like extra service, students who want their mentorship because they're the only Black person in the department, or they're the only person who studies race, or the only person who does X research. So they have, you know, students who want their mentoring, and all of this creates, you know, extra commitments for them. So one thing that we focus on in coaching is helping people prioritize their books when there's a lot of other things going on. You know, so teaching that craft of writing, but also saying like, hey, this book is really important to you for a lot of reasons, like professionally, to get tenure and promotion, but also because you've done this research, it's really meaningful to you and you want to see it out in the world. So how do we help you make sure that it stays top of mind? You know, what do we do to support people so that the book can stay top of mind?
I love that. I feel like my work is really aligned with that, actually, because I'm really helping professors and researchers talk about the research and the teaching that they do online so that more people can have conversations, so that they can have more collaboration, so that they can get more research funding. But most of the people that I work with have a lot of anxiety, right? Talking about themselves. Do you find that your authors have anxiety talking about their books?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that the work you're doing is so important because, you know, in my opinion, it's like, if you write a book, don't you want people to read it?
Not only that, I'm thinking,
yeah, like you like, want it out in the world. Like you want to be in conversation with other people, you know, like you want people to read it, but you also want to talk to people about it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know? Even like the ability to have someone on your team, like be that kind of support, like not just when you start writing the book, but through the whole process. Like that's such an amazing idea that we can't necessarily get through a mentorship position at your university, especially if no one is in your field. So I love that support system is there, but it also gives authors an opportunity to have someone that they can talk with about their book. I mean, some of the authors that I work with, you know, I ask them like, who do you talk about your book with? And the answer is like, no one. Like once I stopped working with my editor, like I don't talk with my colleagues. I don't talk with my family. I don't talk with my friends. My book came out 7 years ago and I never talk about it. And that really strikes me as something that I think that you know, people who work with you, like they're talking about their book and thinking about it in much larger ways because it's really introspective, and being introspective is hard. So like, I love that you help people with that process and like actually understand their motivations for like why they're doing it, who they're helping. Like, I just, it's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. And I think that another part that's really important is that my programs are group programs.
Ooh.
And that's on purpose because, like you said, it is a very introspective. And for some people, the solitary work is, they like it. Like they're like, I like writing solitary act. Like I like being alone with my thoughts. And that's great. And some people are like, it's isolating and I don't like it. And I feel very alone in the process. So being with people who are at a similar stage as them, not necessarily, not, and I don't, when I say stage, I don't mean career-wise, I mean stage of the book, you know, because people come in and they're all right at a similar stage of writing. So they're all kind of going through it together. Like, you know, I'm trying to figure out like the overarching argument of this book, or like, you know, I'm writing two of my empirical chapters, mm-hmm. two of my body chapters, and they're all, and there's a feeling like we're in it together. Like one of the things I love, I spoke to a former client the other day and she was in Elevate a year ago, maybe. And she said, our Elevate group still meets on Mondays and Thursdays on Zoom and we still write together. You know, and I was like, oh my goodness, like I didn't even know that they did that. And she's like,
wow.
Nope. She's like, we kept the time and whoever can make it comes on Mondays and Thursdays and we meet, you know. So just having that community of people who are in it with you and are like, I've seen you from when you started this book and you weren't sure what it was about, and now you're here and we're just seeing each other's process and giving each other support that way. You know, like, it's just awesome because we don't get a lot of that in academia. Like, we have to be very intentional about cultivating it. It doesn't just like show up for us. So, you know, being able to provide that space where you have peers who could be like, I tried that too, and this is what happened when I tried it. You know, or you're like, I went through that experience and I came out and I was, you know, like, I did it, and you could do it too.
I did it, and you can do it too. Just hearing like those two sentences, they're so short, but like, it just makes such a difference, especially to the women and minoritized faculty that you most want to help.
Yeah. I mean, just seeing that, you know, when, cause you know, you get into it and you're like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be done with this book. You know, like, people definitely have that thought, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this. Or, you know, I've been avoiding it. Like, I haven't been working on my book because I've been scared, or I got some feedback that, you know, put me into a tailspin, or I became overwhelmed with other commitments. And, you know, I need to, like, I feel so much shame about it. Like, I feel so embarrassed. And reminding them that it happens. Like, it's disappointing that it happens, but it doesn't mean something's wrong with you. You know, so it's normalizing it and seeing other people. When I did one-on-one, one thing that always happened was that, you know, people would tell me something. I'd be like, oh, that's really common. And they'd be like, it is. And I'd be like, yeah, you're like, I have other clients who have experienced that. And they're like, they have?
Yeah.
So being able to put everyone in the group and be like, look, you're all having this experience. Like, this is like, you are not uniquely incompetent in some way. Like, this is something that happens to a lot of people. Just because we aren't talking about it on Twitter doesn't mean it didn't happen. You know,
and you know, I like when it is talked about on Twitter. I like when people talk about their struggles with writing on Twitter, because I cheer them on. I'm like, if you struggle with your writing, you get back to it, even if it's like a year later, 2 years later, 10 years later. I don't care, because I will remember that you were vulnerable and open about something you were going through. And I want to cheer you on, and I want to hear about things when they're not so good too. So I really like vulnerability. I love that people have a safe space to do that in your program. But I also encourage people, you know, if you're struggling with something, being open about it on social media can help spark new ideas about, you know, tools that you can use, resources that you can use, but also new collaborations and ideas that could help spur your research in another way. I mean, there's just so much possibility besides hearing from other people. Yes, I went through that too. I like that idea of being open about it.
Yeah, to be open about it, because so many people, you know, it's interesting, like, we gravitate to what is other people's achievements and our failures, right? So, you know, you finish a chapter and you're like, yeah, but it's not as good as I thought it would be, you know, like, or like, yeah, but it took me 2 months longer than I thought it would. You know, there's always a diminishing. And convert on the flip side, you know, they talk about other people who are like, well, that person finished their chapter so much faster than I did, or that person, you know, did this. And it's like, well, maybe they did. Maybe you don't know the whole story. But it's interesting, like, in our brains, we kind of put everyone else as, well, they did it better, faster than I did. You know, and when I did it, it was a mess, you know, and to coach around that and be like, you know, what is the story you are telling about your progress? And like, is that story serving you? Because often it's not. Like, saying I wrote my chapter, but, and then using some type of like diminishing, you know, diminishing in some way, like, how is that helping you? Like, why would we emphasize that part of the story? Like, what does it accomplish? It doesn't accomplish anything besides making you feel like crap. It doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't make you write faster. You can't go back in time. You know, you can't go back in time and like write the chapter faster.
So
why would we talk about it so much? But we do, because sometimes we're like, oh, I don't want to seem arrogant. Or it's because I don't believe that this is worthy of celebrating. It didn't happen the exact way I wanted it to. You know, so where are the opportunities kind of neutralize some of that language? So that
or even find positives in it, right? Like maybe that extra time gave you opportunity to realize something new. Maybe it was good that you didn't write it as fast as you thought you might have been able to. Like there's so much self-talk that can be negative, that can be harmful stuff for ourselves. I've definitely done that. I'm a creative writer and like I've totally done that to my, I didn't write that fast enough, or I didn't write as much as so-and-so. It's never helpful.
It's like our running, you know, like our running critic. And it's like, sometimes, you know, we can't, it's something my coach always says, like, we can't always get the critic to completely go away. We put them in the back seat of the car and be like, you go back there. Like, you're not driving this car anymore. You're like not even the backseat, like the third row. You know, like we're putting you back there. Like, I recognize that I may not be at a point where I can get rid of you, but I'm not going to give you like authority over this ride. Like you're not, you don't have the wheel. You're back there.
Still in the car, right? Mm-hmm. Can't get out entirely. I mean, sometimes
still in the car, like we realize, like, yeah, you know, it's not, you're not wrong for having these thoughts. Like they're natural. And we've also been socialized to believe like it's not rigorous enough. It's not fast enough, you know, publish or perish. You know, like there's a lot of socialization at hand that, you know, is part of the reason why people have these thoughts. So as a coach, it would be irresponsible for me to go in and just be like, oh no, you shouldn't think any of this ever again. You know, because as a sociologist, I know like how strong the socialization is. And as a coach, I know that like, that just makes you feel bad about having the thought. So then you feel bad because you didn't write fast enough, according to your standard. And then you feel bad that you're judging yourself. And then you just feel doubly bad. So it's like, okay, let's just like take it back.
Get out of that spiral.
Let's get out of the spiral. Like, it's okay that you had that thought. It's okay that you feel bad. We don't want you to feel bad indefinitely.
I like that. We don't want you to feel bad indefinitely. Tell me more about Elevate. Who should join? I mean, you said that a lot of people in the cohort. Well, you said that people in the cohort are all in a similar place writing their book. So when is it right to join your program, Elevate? And tell me more about it.
So Elevate is a group coaching program and editing. So it's a group editing coaching program. We have a curriculum that we walk you through the craft of writing a book and also the project management behind writing a book and the mindset issues behind writing a book. Like, so much of what slows us down is our own thoughts. Like, I'm not ready to write this. I don't know what decision to make. So-and-so said this about my chapter, so I'm going to feel bad about it and just ignore it. I'm going to avoid. I don't want to look at the feedback, so I'm just going to avoid it. So those are the three domains we work in, like the craft of writing, project management, and mindset. And we do that through a curriculum. Like, we have lessons the same way you would in any course. We have editorial feedback. So you submit your writing for feedback twice a month. And we have a lot of mindset coaching that I coach people hard, which I think is what most Elevate alumni would say. Like, Jane really coaches us. Like, she really pushes us.
Right.
You know, so I push you in a way that not like write your book faster, but like let's get to the bottom of why you're having these feelings about your book. Like, let's get to it and figure it out type of coaching.
Yeah.
You know, because we're academics, we're in our brains so much. And when it gets into like having emotions, we're like, oh no, we're rational. We can't really think about that. And I used to be that person too, like, oh no. that all that emotion stuff, like, that's not going to work for me. And it's like, well, you kind of need to confront it, because you and your book are going to be together for a very long time. Like you were saying, like, as you write it and then after you write it, like,
yeah,
it's not going anywhere. So You should figure out how to enjoy it, like to find pleasure in the process of writing it and be excited about it. And it's just like any other thing. You're not going to be excited about it 24 hours a day, but you want to get to a point where you're more excited and motivated than you are like demoralized and stressed. You know, so in the program, you know, we go through, it's 24 weeks really. And we go through those three themes one by one. And the people who join, all women, and they're normally at a stage in their book where they are figuring out the big overarching picture of the book and the structure of the book. So some people come in and they haven't written a lot yet. They have all of their data collected, most of their literature read. You know, you might need to go back and collect a little bit more data, but like, we want you to really be past that stage. So some people come in and they haven't written a lot. Some people come in and they've written a lot. And they're just like, I've been writing and writing, but I still don't have like a really clear through line, or I still don't know my argument. And that's fine, because people's processes are different. Some people like to get a lot of words on paper and then go back and kind of orient themselves. We advocate you creating the foundation first and then building your house. So people normally come in when they want that support. So what we do first is teach people how to write your book overview, how to write your book's framework, and then create an outline for the entire book. And then they start writing chapters. So normally within the program, you can come out with, you know, a couple of chapter drafts if you have the time to commit. And you will know what your book is about, how you're going to write it. You know, like, this is like how it's going to unfold over time. And then you get to work.
You have a plan in place. The mindset that you need to make that plan actually done, like to get your book done. I love that.
Yeah.
If people want more support, you help them with that too, like beyond writing their book. Is that correct?
We focus on books, but we have an alumni program for Elevate. So we don't expect anyone to write a book in 6 months. You know, that is not what we do. We do not make pie in the sky promises. So we have an alumni program, and people often come back and do the alumni program, which is another 6 months. And there we really focus on more like, now you've done a lot of the deep work, like the deep thinking in Elevate. Now we are helping you like get a lot of words on paper. So people are doing the writing, more writing, and getting, you know, the body chapters. I call them the empirical chapters, but I know people also have theory chapters. So I don't want anyone to be like, what about the theory chapter? We focus on getting chapters done or revising, because some people will take Elevate, go off for a little while and like work independently, and then come back and be like, I have a couple of chapters done. And we're like, great, let's start revising them.
So. I love that. And I'm glad I asked you about that, because I felt like there might be some people who are like, oh, I need a little bit more help than that. Is there an option? And so I'm glad that there's an alumni program that supports you with continuing that process. That's amazing. Now, what else should people know or consider about Elevate? Because your new cohort is opening up again soon.
Yeah. So we accept people who are writing first, second, third books. You know, I think initially when we ran the program, it was very much for people who are transforming dissertations into books. And we have gotten a substantial number of people who are writing second books, which are a different challenge because you don't have that scaffolding of the dissertation. Even if your first book is dramatically different from the dissertation, which many are, you know, the book is not a revised dissertation. It is like from caterpillar to butterfly. So, you know, but the second book just poses different challenges. And we support people who are writing their second book, their third book, because, you know, that foundational work of creating the overview, the framework, the outline, like you need to do that every time. You know, it's not like you write the first book and you're like, well, I'm an expert on book writing now, so I don't need any help. Like, that's not how it works. You know, and even experts get support, you know, so it's not a matter that it's a remedial type of program. That's not what it is. It's not like, oh, the people who don't know how to write books. No, it's for people who want to write books with a supportive community, expert editorial feedback, and coaching to help them write the book with less stress, a better support system, a clear foundation for the book, so that they can make progress, you know, with more ease. Like writing a book is a complicated thing. It should be because you're dealing with like complicated ideas and all sorts of interesting data. And, you know, it's not easy, but there can be more clarity and momentum in the process than what there currently is for a lot of people.
I love that. I think that that is such a supportive program. And I'm so glad that you are there to help people. Now, one question that I have, because I think that this is such a wonderful gift that you can give to yourself, especially if this is like your second, third, or fourth book, like why not make this time easier and better? Like, can you get professional development funding to cover this cost?
Yeah. Majority of the people who work with us pay through their universities. So
excellent.
We have a significant number of people, and some people pay out of pocket. You know, we have people who are like, I want to make this investment because my book's important to me and I don't want to like twiddle my thumbs for.
Good. So if you are listening to this, if you're watching us on YouTube or reading the blog, know that this is a program that's there to support you and that you can pay for it out of pocket or you can request funds from your university. So I love that. And I hope that you sign up for the waitlist. I'm going to drop the button and that link below. So please sign up for the waitlist for more information about Elevate. Now, Dr. Jane Jones, what else would you like to talk about today? I want to make sure people can get in touch with you after this. So,
yeah, I'm pretty easy to find. I'm easiest to find on Instagram. That's where I do most of my digital hanging out.
What's your Instagram handle?
Jane Joanne, PhD. So JaneJoanne, PhD. That's where I am. And my website is upinconsulting.com. It's where you can sign up for my newsletter. It's also where you can apply for Elevate. And, you know, the application is just an application. Like it's not a commitment to join the program. And we look at your application because one thing about the program is that we want to make sure that you're a good fit for the program. But we also want to make sure the program's a good fit for you. So if we think that you're not at the right stage, if there's something about your research that we feel that we can't support you, for instance, we have someone who's writing a memoir and we're like, we don't really edit on memoirs. You know, it's an academic, but like, you know, so if we feel like the program is not a good fit for you, we will tell you, you know, because we only want people in it who can commit and who we can help. So that is the point of, you know, like going in and applying and possibly talking to me about the process if you have, you know, a lot of questions, that we want to make sure that it works for everyone, because, you know, it's a big commitment. And also, you know, the book is a big deal. So if you're going to get support, you want to make sure you're getting the right support at the right time.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining me for this interview. And for everyone listening, I do want to let you know that Jane and I did an Instagram live where we talked about your book, Audience Versus Platform. I'm going to drop the link below for that. So please check it out. Thank you so much for watching this episode of The Social Academic. And thank you so much, Dr. Jane Jones, for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.